the number. Thanks for filling in here, Matt.
Of course.
On such short notice.
I'm excited. I don't really completely understand what we're doing, but I'm excited.
That's why I love you.
I just say yes.
Yeah, I know you just say yes.
I didn't even really hear what the question was.
It's going to get you in real trouble someday, son. No, Ken is not here. Ken and his lovely wife are at a Broadway show. Did you know that, Matt?
I did know that.
They were going to see Network. Did you know that, Irwin? That's where they are?
Ken told me.
They're going to see Bryan Cranston and Network. Hey, what do you think those tickets cost, the two tickets to Bryan Cranston and Network?
Well, Ken didn't have to pay for them.
No, I know. They were a gift from...
the listeners, I'm sure.
They were a gift from the the extra money from last year's marathon, I guess. The money that fell out of the basket.
It was a bribe.
Those tickets cost $300 each, right? Ken's at Broadway, two seats. So that's $600. So let's just talk for a minute about what he could have done with that $600.
Well, right off the bat.
Yeah, what are you thinking, Matt?
Right off the bat, the first thing that comes to my head.
Yeah, what do you need around here?
Just give it to the station.
Toilet paper in all the bathrooms?
Sometimes.
So there's not enough toilet paper. Where's the boss? Oh, he's at Broadway. He's sitting in his $300
seat.
He's seeing Bryan Cranston. Yes, $300 for 2 hours of Bryan Cranston. You can use your hand, use your sleeve. Ken can't be bothered. Ken's spending $600.
Well, we've gotten used to that. We don't need toilet paper.
No. Hold it until you get home, son. No, it's freeform radio.
Yeah.
What else could you do with $600 around here?
Oh, there's just so many.
All I see is crap that doesn't work.
Holes
in the floor, holes in the wall.
Water coming out of ceilings.
Yeah, holes in the pipe. Where's the boss? Hey, what would this pipe cost to fix? About $600. Hey, what a coincidence, because that's exactly what my Broadway tickets cost. Have a big decision to make here.
So Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston. No, enjoy Broadway, Ken. We'll be sitting here knee-deep in sewage water. Don't worry about us, Ken. The important thing is you get to see Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, no. That's definitely the important part.
reading Patachewski lines for a couple of hours. No, that's important.
Oh, Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia.
Mamma
Mia. I'm sure Mamma Mia is his next $800 trip.
You think Mamma Mia tickets are $400?
Yeah, I'm sure they are. I'm sure it's a big hit. Bye, Irwin.
Bye, Irwin.
Anyway, thanks for filling in.
Of course. Literally anytime. I always say yes to everything.
That is true.
Yeah. When have you ever seen me say no?
Yeah. When are you ever busy? Now I'm kind of bummed out. Now I'm kind of bummed out that the guy I'm with
just says yes to
is me. Just kind of doesn't have a life.
I had stuff to do.
What would you be doing right now, Matt, if you weren't here? Seriously.
Well,
what would you be doing? You'd be playing Fortnite. What would you be doing?
You know, I have played Fortnite.
What would you be doing? Cleaning out your bongs? What would you be
cleaning
doing?
Cleaning out my bongs?
What the hell would you be doing?
Working on your little
lava lamp collection?
I do have a lava lamp.
Checking the inventory on your lava lamp?
Yes, I still have 9 lava lamps.
Good. Yeah. So Ken's going to Broadway. We need a replacement at the last minute. Hey, where's that kid with all the lava lamps? I'm guessing he might be free.
Yes!
Yeah. And this is how the phone call went. Hello, Matt. I'm on my way. Wait.
I'm already here.
Don't you want to hear what it is, what I'm asking? No, I don't care. My lava lamps are clean. I have them.
Very clean.
I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are, Matthew.
Very clean.
You know, you'd do a great favor. Let's not talk about your lava lamp collection.
All right, let's not.
I'll talk about anything else.
Anything else?
So.
I've got a bunch of comic books.
That's true. You're selling comic books.
Well, not, yeah, not, they're not mine, though. The stations.
The station found a couple of boxes of comic books in the basement.
Yeah.
Some are key comic books. Some are Silver Age comic books.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
yeah. They're in, I guess, varied states of condition. I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Some are
some
older.
Are old. Some are not the best condition.
Yeah, some of them are in good condition.
Do you have any key issues in good condition?
Yeah, I think.
And so you're hoping.
I am not a comic book expert. I found.
Well, you're gonna have to become
one. I'm gonna become one.
What happened today? You went to a comic book expert, a guy, a buyer.
Yeah, he wanted to buy them, but we're gonna sell
but
them.
Ken said no.
We're gonna sell them separately.
Well, Ken has to.
Singly.
Ken needs his $600. Ken's $600 in the hole. So you're going to be selling X-Men. What do you have? Describe the comic book.
There's some older X-Men ones. There's an old Avengers. There's some...
What do you really want me to talk about?
This?
I don't care. Why do I care what you're talking about?
I guess you're right.
I'm not listening. My mind is so far away, man. What did he offer you today?
There wasn't really any. It just was... There was no... It was just like... We're gonna go a different way with this. We just really wanted to see if they were worth something.
But he had a number. Well, you don't want to say? Why don't you want to say?
It was just we were just saying like no, we're not gonna sell them.
Hypothetically.
All.
But he threw out a number. He threw out $1,200.
Yeah.
Why just say what's wrong? What are you scared of? Scared little boy?
Not scared.
You can't scare
talk
like
because
talking Ken's
money.
Out of town. You might get in trouble. All right. So he got $1,200, and then Ken says, "No, we're going to sell them individually."
Well, yeah, because
we're going to put Matt Warwick to work individually, writing up a little description of each one, taking an individual photo. This is eight weeks of your life you're looking at.
What?
So maybe
why
you'll make.
Why are you making me feel bad?
No,
about
I'm just
this.
Saying that. Is that what the situation is?
A
you're
going to
sell them
bit.
Individually. Yeah. Then maybe you'll make $1,300. Maybe you'll see that extra.
We better, but yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, mamma mia!
What is your title here?
I'm the record fair director. But then,
what does it say on your card? Do you have a business card?
No. Why would I don't have a business? Do you want to get me some business cards?
Don't the dealers from the record fair? Don't they ask who are you and do you have a card?
Well, I have a bunch of postcards. With my name.
Fine. So you're the record fair director.
Yeah, that's my main thing here, yeah.
So the record fair has to bring in, obviously has to cover the rent,
mm-hmm.
has to cover the expenses, and it has to cover your salary
yeah.
before it makes even a dollar in profit.
Yeah.
That's a challenge.
Well, that's why I'm in charge of it.
And how did it go last year?
It went really well, and it's going to be even better this year.
Where's it going to be?
Same place, Brooklyn Expo Center.
Going to be selling the same crap?
No, actually, we've been getting a lot of stuff
better,
in.
Better crap?
Better crap.
How about my idea, chicks free? Chicks get in free. You like that idea?
It's a... You think that's what's going to bring
Big
it
sign.
To the next level? That's what's going to... It's like $3 to get in. Whoa!
How much does it cost to get out?
Well, that's... $30.
Yeah.
$30. So what is we have a topic. We have a
I've been avoiding it.
You've been avoiding it because you don't think it's gonna. You don't want to.
That's not true. I know it's gonna. I know it's gonna tank.
You think? Oh, you know it's gonna tank.
Well, okay. Well, listen. What is the phone number here? Let me. It looks
I know
like,
the phone number.
Like I'm
is
the adult here,
today.
Go ahead. What's the adult?
You are the adult.
I'm the adult here. What's the phone number?
It's at 201.
Yeah.
536 9368. I had to read that.
Now, this is of course you had to read it. Why wouldn't you have to read it?
Yeah. I don't know it off the top of my head.
Why would you know it off the top of your head?
I don't know. It's a I don't do phone shows. I thought maybe you would have it memorized.
I should, although this is not our usual studio.
I know you don't know the phone number ever.
I have a memory problem. There's a synapse problem. I have some gray cells.
Oh,
missing.
No, me too. A
they're
lot
like
of
some,
them.
There are bridges up there in my head that aren't fully connected to other. They're just floating independent of each other. But now, do you have a memory problem? Like if you meet someone If you meet someone on Monday and they tell you their name, do you know that name on Tuesday?
It really depends. I used to be better with that stuff. But
don't you have to know names to deal with dealers?
I mean, I know their names and I know. Sometimes you meet someone really quickly and I might not hear the name or it doesn't go in right all the way. I think that's really the big problem.
I get you, Matt. Now, Matt, how about name tags on dealers? Have you ever thought about that?
Just
as a rule?
Name tags?
No, at the record fair.
Everyone has to wear a name tag.
Everyone, every customer should too.
Oh, so everyone comes in.
Everybody coming in. And then you could just sit there at the door. Hey, Larry. Hey, Ben.
That will definitely drive up attendance.
You think it would?
Yeah. And everyone will be so friendly.
Why don't you emphasize that?
The friendliest fair?
The friendliest record fair ever. Who's going to hook up? That'll be the big question. Who's going to go to the record
fair? Who's going to hook up?
Do you think anyone's ever hooked up at one of your record fairs?
At the record fair?
Yeah.
Oh, I never even. It's weird.
Do you think so? Wait, what does hook up mean to you?
I think the minimum requirement for hook up would be like smooching.
Oh, I thought it just meant meeting someone.
No, just meeting someone.
Oh, no, you mean it's physical contact?
Yeah, that's what I
would. Oh, that would never happen at the record fair. Where would it happen?
I don't know.
Where would it? How could it happen? You've been to the record fair, right?
Yes.
Yeah, how could that happen?
I was just thinking of every corner.
Do you think any guy has ever met a stranger, a woman, or another guy, just met someone and had made a date?
At the record fair?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think probably. It's been going on for like 20 years. There's got to be one.
Do you think there's a marriage and a child that was born?
I hope so. Little record fair baby.
Would they get in free if they could prove they're a record fair baby?
If they could prove that they're a record fair.
That the parents met at the record fair?
Yes.
You'd let them in free?
I would, yes. If there's, it has to be concrete proof of it.
Well, how would you do that? You'd read their diary?
Yes. Dated 1997.
If your parents met at the record fair, or if you were conceived at the record fair, you get in free.
Yeah, free.
Yeah.
I wonder. I really hope there's not like these scores of children who are going to come running to the record fair.
There used to be an abortion clinic in the back.
In the back?
Of the record fair, yeah. It was like a room. Yeah, free abortions.
Yeah. What?
So there'd be a lot more. There'd be a lot more record fair babies, I think, if they hadn't had that policy in place.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very controversial.
Oh.
Wasn't even a doctor there. It was kind of do it yourself.
It just was a room.
Yeah, they had some equipment. I don't want to talk about
it.
It was horrible, Matt.
I don't. That's,
it was horrible. I think a lot of people didn't come because of it. Some people came because of it.
So
I guess it was a wash.
When we got rid of it, you think that really boosted?
Well, there was a lot of articles in the local paper. There was some protests out front. It was horrible, and it, frankly, it distracted people from record.
The
buying.
Records,
yeah, the records and the music. What did it have to do with the music? I would have these arguments with Ken all night long.
Why?
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 Why? Just because him and his girlfriends needed it so badly.
All right. Oh, man.
Now,
all right.
Well,
let's
steer
this back into where we were going to
okay,
go.
Now,
I know you think it's going to tank, but this was not my idea. This was your idea.
Well, I've always been interested in this. And, you know, every time you talk about the theater downstairs, which is, of course, called Monty Hall because it's on Montgomery Avenue, I'm reminded of this Monty Hall problem. Has anyone ever tried to explain it to you?
Yes, but I have no idea. I really don't.
I guess it's inspired by Let's Make a Deal. I don't know if it ever actually happened on Let's Make a Deal. I guess it could have. As I understand, I guess I'd love someone to call. I guess I'm going to offer a T-shirt to anyone who could explain the Monty Hall problem to me so that I can understand it.
So that you can understand it.
It's been attempted 5 or 6 times. So I'm still 1,000 miles from understanding. How many miles would you say you are from understanding it?
Me?
Yeah.
What is the furthest it could be?
Well, I'm 1,000 miles. I can't even see it.
I would say I'm right next to you.
Okay, so
maybe a mile.
How are you in math in high school and college?
Not good. Very not.
Is this
good.
A math problem, by the way?
Or
is this
I don't
just
know.
Logic?
That's what,
is this
all right.
physics?
Nick the Bard was saying math, and then Irwin said math, and I was like, "This is math."
It
I
is
thought
math?
It was. I don't know. Well, that's how far I am.
Here's our phone number. If anybody can try to explain it to us, 201-536-9368. By the way, the outer limits of my math ability is reading this phone number.
That's the.
I know all the digits. 201-536-9368. That's our phone number. If you want to take a shot at explaining the Monty Hall problem, but you have to explain it to me and Matt as if we were in second grade.
Maybe first grade.
Do you understand? Me. It's a door. There are three doors. This is how I. This
yeah,
is what I believe.
Yeah, say it so I can kind of even
this is
remember.
What, this is how I. This is the setup to it. It's not
yeah.
the solution.
Yeah.
The setup is this. There are three. Oh wait, we have someone on the phone. Maybe
yeah.
they can explain.
All right.
Okay.
We have Helen. Helen, are you there?
A woman.
Hello.
A woman.
Yes.
Oh, it must have been. You must have misdialed. Okay, let me read the number again. 201-536-9368.
Yes, it's Helen of Livingston. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Matt, is there a man on any of the lines?
No, it's
okay,
just
oh, then
Helen.
We'll talk to... Hey, Helen, thanks for calling.
Hey.
Thanks for calling. Do you teach math? Do you understand physics or do you understand
Not at
this
all.
Problem?
No, I have no idea.
Has it ever been explained to you, at least the setup to it, the conundrum?
No, I have severe ADD, so I probably wouldn't last till the end of the explanation.
Well, this leads to my next question. It's probably Matt's question, too. How come you're calling? We're thrilled. We're thrilled you called. Nobody
because
else is calling. Yeah.
Before you started talking, first of all, I called last week, and you told me to call back, so haha, I listened. The main thing is, there's a piece of cutlery which I guarantee neither of you have ever seen or heard of. Do you know what a runcible spoon is? That's R-U-N-C-I-B-L-E, spoon. A runcible
no,
spoon.
No, I'm guessing my wife would know. Wait, I'm sorry to just hit pause for a second. What the hell are we talking about? What happened last week? I don't remember last week. Was I here?
I think you were here last
Barely,
week.
Barely, yeah.
What was the show last week?
It was a marathon.
Oh, we were running we were having a mock of a marathon race. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. I was so mad at Ken.
I was so mad at Ken. Now I remember what
numbers.
It was.
Okay.
You
okay.
were mad.
Now I do have another question, a follow-up question, if I may. What
yes.
the hell are we talking about spoons for?
I had a weird dream, and I felt I had to tell you about it. Otherwise, it means something. If I don't tell you, I don't know what's going to happen. So
okay, well, I'm so sorry
know-
to hit pause again. What the hell do we have here? It's like some kind of wild, mythical fish on the line. Okay. Hey, I was just talking, you know, it's so funny you mentioned Runcible Spoons. I was just talking the other day to my daughter about Runcible Spoons. Came up in conversation. I wasn't sure what it was. Can you explain what it is, Helen?
It is almost like a spork. It predates the fork.
Yeah, it's like a fork spoon.
A spoon,
yeah.
But it's one of the tines of the fork has sort of a serrated edge.
Fascinating. Wait, I'm just going to hit pause for one more second. Anybody else calling?
No.
Okay, here's our phone number, 201-536-9368. The topic back here on Earth, on the planet Earth, the topic was, what was it?
I'm so sorry.
Oh, the Monty Hall paradox.
The Monty Hall.
Oh, so anyway, I'm sorry. Oh, Helen, you were talking about spoons, and you had a dream about a spoon, and you felt compelled to call and share it with us. Is that right, Helen?
No.
Oh, I misunderstood. Why are we talking about the Runcible spoon?
What is going on, Andy?
Wait, I think she's playing dead air chicken.
Okay.
It's called Runcible spoon chicken.
Okay.
Let's see who goes the longest.
Okay.
Without talking.
So, should I not be talking right now?
Well, is anybody else calling?
No.
This is the best we have.
Can someone?
It's the best we have. The shy, shy, shy little girl talking about her Runcible spoon. This is all we have. There's no other call.
This is the only thing we have.
Yeah. Should we give the phone number away again? Let's get the phone number out again.
Matt.
Yes?
You're really bad at reading stuff that Cleo Pigeon can't freestyle, and you can't even read what he's writing.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
No one does. She's a mysterious woman, is Helen.
This morning, every time you come on when Clay Pigeon signs off.
Do you know what she's talking about now?
I am not 100% sure on the reading.
Is that a callback to something that happened this morning?
No.
All right, I'm sorry. Helen, hey, thanks for calling and thanks for sharing that story. It meant a lot to us. If you're just joining us, we're talking about, I would say, anything. Except... Runcible Spoon.
Yes.
That's the one topic we're avoiding.
That's the only topic we're avoiding.
We're at 201-536-9368. So here's how I understand. By the way, in case you're wondering, the answer is yes, we have a call screener.
Yes.
To make sure that calls stay on topic. As I understand the Monty Hall paradox, you're on Let's Make a Deal.
Yes.
There are three doors.
Yes.
Right?
I know this.
Monty Hall says, behind one of these three doors is a car. Behind the other two doors is zero, is nothing.
Okay.
Which door do you want to open? And you would say, go ahead, pick a door, one, two, or three.
Two.
Okay, you would say two. And here's what Monty Hall says. Monty Hall will say, you pick number two. I'm not going to open door number two, Matt. I'm going to open... a different door. I'm going to open door number one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And show you that there's nothing in behind door number one. And he does that. He opens door number one, right? Mm-hmm. Then he closes door number one. And this is what he says to you. Now you know there's nothing behind door number one.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm going to give you another guess. Do you want to stick with your original guess, door number two? Or do you want to change it now that you have a little more information, to door number three?
Okay.
That's the Monty Hall.
And then the whole thing is.
And you would say, and every adult, every reasonable, well, high-functioning adult would answer, intuitively, your answer would be, it doesn't matter. I'm going to stick with my original answer. It's not going to change the outcome.
It's not going to change anything.
Right.
That's what I would think.
Who wouldn't? Okay?
Yes.
But it turns out, it does matter. It turns out you should. The odds are slightly improved if you change doors. It makes no sense. Wait, let's see. We have a call.
Oh, yes. So.
Is it somebody?
It is somebody. We have Kendall in Jersey City.
Is it someone that knows anything about logic and physics and math?
It is? Yeah. I have a math degree, although I haven't really done much math in a long time.
That's good enough for us.
That's good.
All right, so
that's more than my degree.
That's better than us. Where did you get your math degree?
NGIT in Newark.
And what did you do with your math degree?
Write software for banks.
Okay. Fantastic. And you've heard this problem before. Did I explain it halfway close, decently?
Yeah, I explained it well. But yeah, it's really hard to understand why it's better to change, because you would think it's a 50-50 pick at that point, but...
Well, let me just hit pause for a second. Do you understand it?
Yeah. So the easiest way to understand why you should change your pick is to first imagine a larger set of doors. So let's say instead of three doors, you have 10 doors, and the prize is behind one door. You pick a door at random, and so that means you have a 10% chance of having picked that correct door. Now let's say they take away the 8 non-prize doors, and now you have two doors left, the one that you picked and the other one. The one that you picked only had a 10% chance of being correct, so that means that other door is almost certainly the prize door. And so if you keep reducing down to, like, 5 doors, you know, you only had a 20% chance of picking correctly the first time. They take away 3 non-prize doors. That other door was probably the prize door. And so you just reduce that down to 3 doors, And now you know why, you know, you only had a 1 in 3 chance of picking the correct door the first time. So they take away the other two, you know, one of the other doors, that's probably the prize door. Does that kind of make sense?
Nope. You did not move the needle for me. Did he move the needle for you?
There was parts of it where I was like, yes.
Did he win a t-shirt? No.
I understand what this is, but I kind of get what's...
But the car, no one moved, no one snuck behind the doors. No one snuck behind the door and moved the car.
Do you get it with, like, the 10-door problem?
Nope.
I kind of get it with the 10-door thing.
What?
Right. So if you keep reducing the number of doors, it's still the same. Like, if you have 5 doors and you pick one at random, you only have a 1 in 5 chance of having picked correctly. But then they take away 3 more doors. So, you know, you already know that you only had that 1 in 5 chance of getting that first pick correct.
But I think
now you know
that
other one is basically a 50-50 chance.
Respectfully, sort of. I don't know if you're respectfully, and I'm saying this without really any real respect. But I'm saying the word respectfully. I respect you just enough to say the word respectfully. They are not opening that door number 5, your initial guess. You don't know if that initial guess was right or not.
Right, but you know that the other 3 doors that they opened, or there 8 doors or whatever, are not prizes. So unless you got extremely lucky and picked the correct door on the very first try, at 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 5 or 1 out of 100, you know, unless you got extremely lucky. Like, let's say you had a lotto ticket, you know, you have a 1 in $50 million chance of picking the lotto correctly, right?
Yes, yes.
And then they draw 50 million tickets and you get to pick one, and then they say, we're going to take away 49,998,000, et cetera, and there's only 2 tickets left. Do you think that you picked the 1 out of 50 million that was right on the very first try? Or do you think that one other one is the correct prize ticket?
Oh.
Yeah?
Wait, maybe that... Wait a minute.
Is
There's
your
been
needle
a glim-
moving on that one?
Wait, maybe the
dime
just dropped.
The needle moved for me on the 10 doors.
Oh, the lottery kind of makes sense. Okay, hold on. If you bought a lottery ticket and they said, we're not going to tell you if you won or not. But what we're going to do is we're going to eliminate every other lottery ticket except for one other one.
Right.
Right? And now you have a choice. You can stick with the one you bought, or you can take the other one.
Yeah. And you know that one of those 2 tickets is a winner, and not all the other tickets are not winners.
So you'd have to say to yourself, look, knowing my history, I've never bought a winning lottery ticket. What are the odds, right?
Right.
But it's different with only 3 doors.
It's not any different. It's just that your odds of picking the right time on the first time are higher, but you still have a lesser chance of having picked it the first time than if you switch.
Okay, that second lottery ticket, that second surviving lottery ticket, right? Was that picked at random, like by a computer? Were both lottery tickets just the numbers picked at random?
No, it'd be like, it doesn't really matter how it's picked, you know? Oh. I mean, if you have 5, 10, 20 doors in front of you,
my brain
hurts. You don't know what's behind the door. It doesn't matter if it's door number 1 or door number 10, you know? You're picking at random anyway.
I think the problem that we're having, Andy, is that we are fighting math.
Like... Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter what you think, Andy. It's you know, it's always a better chance to pick the door, whether or not you want to do it. It's one thing. I gotta get going. I gotta pick up my wife at the train station.
Why? Where's she coming from? She's working.
Yeah, I'm picking her up at the Journal Square.
Does she make more than you?
Is she what?
Does she earn more money than you?
I don't think that's an appropriate question to ask, Andy.
Oh, I know it's not appropriate.
Well,
how much more? So she makes a little more than you. I guess you got to get her.
How much money do you make, Andy?
I don't. These days, I'm between gigs. I can't afford to go to a Broadway show, like my friend Ken. All right, you got to go get your wife.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell her. Give her. Hey, tell her. She might not remember me, but send her my love.
I will.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks for calling. That one.
Well, the lottery ticket.
Yeah, I could see that right
when
you
said... Would you change lottery tickets?
I don't...
If they could narrow it down to two.
Oh.
We're not going to tell you if your lottery ticket won. Here's all we're telling you. It's between yours and one other one. Would you change it?
Oh, that's really a difficult...
What if you picked your...
Knowing that it's the right decision now, I might have to do it.
But no, what if you used all your lucky birthday numbers on the first one?
And
all your intuition,
all
your girlish intuition. Would you change the lottery tickets?
I think I would have to now.
After talking to this guy?
It just, to me, I understand mathematically when you go move it down to it, just the smallest scale of three.
But the odds of your lottery ticket winning is exactly the same as the odds of that one winning. The schmuck. If you met the schmuck that picked the numbers on the second one, you wouldn't be impressed. The second lottery ticket. Suppose you met the guy that picked the numbers on the second lottery ticket.
Okay.
And he had suffered a serious industrial accident a week earlier.
Okay.
And was just not coherent. But he managed to pick eight numbers.
To pick eight numbers.
That, would you feel then? How would that conundrum work? Would you change cards then?
Like you think I would be?
I don't know.
when this guy
said there's a second lottery ticket, I immediately think, well, maybe somebody that knows something that has some inside information picked that one. But that's never the case.
So you're saying
your lottery ticket's as valid as that one? Well, I don't get it. My needle's back at zero. Hey, let me give the phone number again.
Yes.
Is there another way to explain this? 201-536-9368.
He did a pretty good job at it, though. I'm...
You're closer to understanding it.
I'm closer to understanding it when it comes to this... When it comes to the big whittling it down.
I don't think so.
But when it comes to... out of three?
You're drinking the Kool-Aid, son.
Maybe I...
You're just... Because these guys sound smart, because they have their college degrees on the wall. You're intimidated by them.
Maybe.
But it still doesn't make sense. You've got to be able to see the BS when it's handed to you. All right, let's take these calls.
All right, we have...
Doesn't matter who they are. Why, you need to know their name? That's important to you before you answer the phone?
I'd like to greet them.
Okay,
Brian in Jersey City.
Hello. I'd like to take a shot at explaining the problem.
Okay, we have a T-shirt that goes to anyone that can explain it in terms that matter I can understand. Hey, you called 201-536-9368, and the contest is, can you explain the Monty Hall paradox? Go ahead, Brian. Well, first off, did you study math? Are you a
I am actually a math teacher.
And for what grade?
Middle school.
That's perfect.
And
that's
have you introduced? Yeah. Well, I'm not quite there. I know for a fact that when my middle school kids have math homework, I can't help them. So I know for a fact I'm already in the deep end over my head. But let me ask you this. Have you introduced this Monty Hall paradox to your students?
No.
Because they couldn't get it. Then what chance do I have? Okay, but if you were talking to them and explaining it to them, how would you explain it to them?
Okay, so when you're first, when you do your first pick, there are three doors, okay?
Yeah.
So there's a 33% chance that you're going to get it.
Yes.
Mm. Okay, but when they take one away, they're definitely taking a wrong one away.
Yes.
So now you're down to 50%.
Yes.
So when you switch, you're choosing between the 50% instead of the 33%, and 50 is better than 33, and that's why you want to switch.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I can tell that you're a great teacher, and your kids are lucky to have you. By the way, does your wife earn more than you?
She does.
I know, and I'm sorry about that. That's a shame and a crime. But meanwhile, back to Monty Hall. Isn't it true that nobody stuck behind the door and moved the car, right?
Okay. Yeah,
so
right.
So isn't it true that... The door number two, which was my first instinct, which was Matt's first gut call, that mm-hmm. still isn't. Why isn't that a 50% call now?
Oh, I see. Because when you originally chose it, it was 33%. They knew which one they were going to take away beforehand. they knew they were going to take away one that that you didn't pick.
Right.
Right. So that's sort of what you're using against them in that problem.
But Brian had no information when he chose door 1, 2, or 3.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's why it was a 33% chance, because it was 1 out of 3.
And here's what I don't understand. Oh, I'm so stupid. Why did I pick a topic that is guaranteed
that
to make me feel?
That just makes us both look stupid.
Okay. But Brian had no information when he made his initial call. And he has no new information now. There's no new information.
No, in a sense, no, they gave you new information by taking a wrong one away. That's the new piece of information that makes you pick the other door.
But nobody moved the car. Nobody was backstage moving the car.
Sure. No, that's definitely true. The car was not driving around behind the doors. I'm with you there. But when they took one away, they were definitely not going to take away the door that had the car. So they're definitely taking a wrong one away. So now you're at 50%, not 33%.
Let me ask you something honestly, and please be honest. We don't know your last name. We don't know where you teach. You can embarrass yourself. And by the way, no one is listening to the show. That's my promise.
Okay.
Do you understand
ready.
This really? Do you
yes.
get it really?
I do.
I don't.
I gave it my best shot here.
Okay, I thank you for that,
you for
and
trying.
I love you for that. Thank you, Teach.
All right, bye.
You can tell he's a good teacher.
The thing that...
He can't teach me.
The thing that I don't get, right?
Yeah.
It goes down to 50, or goes up to 50% chance, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That's the whole thing.
Well, yeah.
Why can't I choose the one I already choose? Why does it make a difference if it's...
That's right. Why can't you say, okay, now I'm going to choose between
the... I re-choose
Yes,
the,
I
my
re-choose
same
door number two. Why can't you say that? And
you
still be at
50%. I kind of get the percentage thing.
You don't.
Well, no, okay. Out of three. So I kind of get that it's on your first choice.
Let's take the next call.
All right.
Okay, hold on. We're talking to people that are trying to explain the Monty Hall paradox. 201-536-9368. No one's come close. It's like some kind of, it's like trying to sink a basket from midfield. No one's come close. It's just this.
What do you think
challenge.
They'll have to? I guess if we knew, we would know.
There must be a way to explain it.
All right, we have Jack in New York.
Hey, Jack. Thanks very much.
Hello. A boy
is going to explain it to a man.
Yeah.
Is this some bizarro world we've landed on? This world makes no sense. Jack, how old are you?
I am 12.
Jack, do you truly understand this problem?
Yes. You have to think of each door as its own problem. Put your ear to the door, one, and listen for the Runcible spoon.
Oh, come on!
That's Helen. Wait, are we being punked?
We just got punked!
By Helen and her son?
Yes!
That was Helen's son?
Yes. And we have Beth on line
what
one.
What is Helen up to?
Your Beth.
Oh, my Beth.
I know.
Hey, Helen darling.
Hey, got a problem with a woman making more money than a man in a committed relationship?
No, I don't. You and I don't.
You and I don't,
but these people clearly are struggling.
You like...
Couldn't you hear it in their...
asking that question to men?
Honey, like, couldn't you hear it in their voice? Couldn't you hear it in their voice, the pain?
It is hard.
It's so hard, I know. My heart goes out to them.
I find it emasculating that you ask. I think that's just such poor form. I'm really mad.
Oh, no.
She's mad at you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be provocative.
It's a
honey, you heard the rest. Honey, the rest of the show was all... was all let, honey, the rest of the show, was like, let's make a deal, and where's the car?
Does that make you feel better somehow? Like, these guys are pouring out their heart to you trying to explain math.
Yeah.
And you're what was that? That's crazy.
I'm sorry. You're right. No, seriously, this is not a rhetorical question. What's wrong with me?
Molly listening to the show. She goes, "Why did you marry him?"
It's a legitimate question. A day doesn't go by I don't ask that question.
Seriously, you can be funny, jerky, kind of, but don't be a full-on jerk, you know. That's That's not nice.
I think he's taking advantage because I'm here. I feel like
I feel like Ken
would really, and I'm like too nervous. I don't know. You make me nervous to correct you.
And say
he looks very ashamed right now.
What is wrong with me? No, I'm truly asking. Maybe we should open it up to any therapists or shrinks out there.
Should we change the topic?
What do you think is wrong with me?
What is wrong with Andy Breckman?
I don't understand a math concept, so I'm going to, like, make fun of you or ask you an offense, like, a tough question. That's not right.
Kind of just to rock, just put them back on their heels, to make them,
yeah,
to make them insecure to embarrass them.
Yeah, but, I mean...
Especially after they... Look, I asked them to call. I gave out the number. This is why it really was horrible and why I crossed the line.
Yeah.
If I hear you correctly. They were a guest. I invited them into my house.
And they were gracious.
And they were gracious enough to call. And they stayed on topic.
Yeah.
They did.
I know. And in return, I thanked them by insulting them and embarrassing them.
Yeah, but
so it's even worse. Honey, I get it. It was even worse. It was even worse than me just calling a random person and embarrassing them.
Right.
I know. These were people. Honey, let me explain. Let me explain what you're trying to say. If I hear you correctly, honey, if I hear you correctly, I was worse than rude because I sucker punched them.
Yeah. And also, people shouldn't be. He's a math teacher. That's the greatest thing. We should be indebted to people who teach our kids.
I know we should be. Why aren't I?
Yeah.
What's my problem?
I know.
Why do I feel I have a license when I come to this station to humiliate and embarrass good, decent people, hardworking people?
Exactly.
Where did no one give me a license?
No.
It's not like I have a license to kill like James Bond.
I think the real issue here,
by the way,
if I'm really getting to the problem is...
Yeah, go ahead, man. I want to hear you. I want to hear you analyze and strip mine my life and analyze it.
I will strip you down.
Yeah, go ahead. I want to hear this.
I mean, it's not even an embarrassing thing if someone's
right.
Wife...
Well, you're wrong about that. You're both wrong about that.
It's like you're describing it as if you sucker punch someone with this...
That's like saying you value me not at all because I'm not making any money, and you value yourself most of all because you're making money.
Well, how else do you judge a person? I'm lost. I'm confused. God. Wait, I'm really confused.
What's wrong with you?
I'm just saying you've lost me. I'm asking for help. How else would you judge a person?
By how they're loved by others.
Hold on, honey. You're talking so fast. Loved by others.
I'm gonna hang up.
I'm keen to learn. I'm asking. I'm here to learn. Why did you call if you didn't want to teach me and make me a better person? I'm here to learn. Listen, seriously. Before you hang up, let me say sincerely.
By building other people up, not tearing them down.
Building up. Hold on. I'm writing it down. Not tearing down. Let me say sincerely, honey. I'm glad you called, and this is from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. What?
I
can't say thank you.
I love you. I love you. Okay. All right. We're good.
I love you too.
I love you too. Bye.
Wow.
I married well.
And she was right. I'm glad she called. Because I wanted to say something, but I...
She's not as scared of me anymore.
Yeah.
I got...
Thank you for calling.
Back when we were first married... When she was much younger, she was scared of me. She'd
That's
never
like
make
me
that
right
call.
Now.
Yeah, I know. She was a regular Matt Warwick around me. Intimidated. Wearing
Mama
bare feet.
Mia.
Yeah.
Oh, what was the topic again?
Bare feet
again?
And pregnant.
What's wrong with Andy?
Fine.
No, we have...
You think we have a math professor on the phone?
Maybe. Zachary in Indiana.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, doing all right.
Hey, it doesn't matter, Zachary, before you get started, I don't care who makes more, you or your wife. I don't care who makes more money.
You don't care?
No, it's fine with me if she's the breadwinner. You stay home, you're the stay-at-home dad, that's fine with me. That's cool, too.
Well, good, Andy. I'm glad we have your approval. It's something we've been seeking for many years now. And
I've evolved in the last... You heard it here, and you were here. It happened live on the radio.
It did.
I've evolved in the last 20
say
minutes.
I wouldn't you fully got there, but you're almost... You're getting there.
I'm woke, baby.
Oh no.
I'm woke now. Hey, Zach, thanks for calling.
Hey.
Do you teach math by any chance?
No, I mean, I've tutored math before.
Well, tutor me and Matt. Do you understand this problem?
Yeah, so I think one thing that's always kind of hung me up on as well, Andy, a twist. Maybe there's a listener, you know, it's a little late in the show now, maybe there's a listener that can help explain it. So everyone doing the statistics and, you know, the fractional distribution of the choices, that makes sense. But here's the twist, Andy. So let's say contestant A is going through and choosing out of the three doors.
Contestant A is choosing.
A, they're choosing door B.
By the way, let me just say, if I could just pause for a second. I don't care if contestant A makes as much money as his wife or more or less. That's not a factor at all in this problem.
No.
I'm just moving on. It just doesn't matter, Matt. If he loves his wife and he's a good, decent person, that's all that matters.
You're making my face hot.
Okay, contestant A. Okay, so contestant A picks door number one.
Door number one.
Yeah.
And they're shown that the prize is not behind door number two.
Right.
Contestant A dies. Okay? And then they have to bring on another contestant who hasn't been paying attention backstage.
Yeah.
So they come out. They see that door number two has been revealed is not having the prize.
I like this. And so this makes sense.
Now there's
yes.
door one and door two or door three. It's back to 50% because you need to have the knowledge of the first choice being wrong. And that's always been my frustration with the problem.
Of course.
It has to be the same contestant.
Of course. So you're calling from Indiana. Thank you for your call. I don't care who pays the phone bill, by the way, you or your wife. It doesn't matter. It's not germane to this conversation. You're calling to say that you don't get it either.
No, if you have to have the same knowledge. It only holds up if it's the same contestant the whole time. But you're back down to the current distribution of choices, two doors. If that contestant dies and a new person has to play with the pieces given, in this case, door one, door three.
But why is the same contestant who did not? But what if he didn't? What if he recovered from his heart attack? Right. He recovered.
Do they remember the door they chose?
Yes, he remembers the door he chose, and now they tell him as the ambulance is arriving, they tell him, you can change your guess, or you can stick with your guess. Why isn't he in the exact same spot, probability wise, as that guy backstage that is waiting in the wing as his understudy?
Because he or she knows that they were choosing out of three. Everyone that's been explaining it to you, the likelihood that you were right on your first choice presented with so many is very low. You know, in that case, 33%. But if you're only choosing between two, it's 50-50. But since you knew that you chose one out of three doors, that holds up. But I think it's the knowledge thing that's always bothered me, and it sounds like maybe that's a frustration with you as well. And
I got to say, I love you. I really appreciate your calling. My gut is saying you don't quite get this. It just doesn't. I don't think.
That's BS, Andy. I mean,
do you really get it? How about that? How about the lottery ticket? Would you switch lottery tickets?
Oh, no.
Wait, you wouldn't switch lottery, but it's the same problem, just on a grander scale.
You don't turn code on your lucky numbers, Andy.
Wait a minute. But okay, hold on. So that's interesting. What if Matt came to the Let's Make a Deal and Matt's lucky number was three, right?
Yeah. How does luck?
His lucky number was three. It's always been his lucky number. He won. He's won QB dolls at the state fair betting on three
all the time.
Okay. So he guesses number three. They show him door number one is empty, not the right guess. Why on earth would anything persuade him to change?
Yeah.
We're fighting math, Andy.
Yeah, if it's your lucky numbers, I mean, mathematicians get stuff wrong all the time. Look at their models for various things.
I'm not any closer. I'm not any closer. I'm 1,000 miles. Oh, but thanks for calling. I love you.
And
regards to your congratulations to your wife on her promotion. I assume she's.
Oh, thank you.
I assume
thank
she's
you,
a big wig in the corporate world. But that doesn't matter.
Yeah, we're going to get a steak later this week.
Get yourself a steak. It's on me. Thanks.
Thanks, Zachary.
So did that help you?
No, it didn't
he
help.
He was almost there. It was interesting.
What I was thinking
It was
of,
interesting, bringing in the understudy, the new contestant.
The whole time while he was talking, I thought of another situation that makes it confusing. All right, say this. Maybe this
gonna,
is us
wait,
fighting
dig,
against
You're
going
to dig the hole deeper?
No, yes. Yes, I am. Okay, say there ahead. Are two contestants, and they don't know what they're picking.
Yeah.
Like, they don't know what the other is picking.
Yeah.
All right? And they both pick different numbers.
How is this helping? How is this getting us, either one of us, closer?
And then they reveal the one door that they didn't pick, right?
Yeah.
But they don't know. They don't know. Neither of them know that the other picked it.
I'm already lost. It's like saying, suppose a contestant.
Why am I trying to make this more complicated?
Suppose there's a contestant on Let's Make a Deal with dementia. It's like, that's like, all right, let's take another call real quick.
All right, we have a shot. Nico in New York.
Nico. Hey, hi, Nico.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Sorry.
Do you teach math by any chance?
I don't teach math, no.
But do you understand this problem?
I do understand the problem, yes.
You think you have a shot at explaining it to a couple of dunderheads?
Yeah, I'll try my best.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Here
I really hope it works.
Here we go.
Okay, so it's just more of a question of probability. If you have three doors, and one of them has the special prize, you have a 1 out of 3 chance of getting the correct door. Does that make sense?
So yes. Far, right? That's familiar territory to me. Yes, I'm with you.
So if someone opens one of the goat doors or the trash doors or whatever you want to call it, someone opens one of those and then you have a chance to repick, you then have a 1 in 2 chance of picking the correct one.
Correct.
And a 1 in 2 chance is just inherently better than a 1 in 3 chance.
But what are your chances? How are your chances changed if you say, you know, that door I picked 2 minutes ago is my lucky door. I'm going to stick with that choice.
You pick the first door on a 1 in 3 chance, and the second door on a 1 in 4.
But Vanna White is not behind the curtain moving the car.
Now it's just become very complicated, because now it's like your emotions are in this.
Okay, I want to thank you for calling. We have time for one more call.
Last person. We have Lawrence in Plainfield.
Oh, hey, Lawrence. Thanks for calling.
Yes, Andy. I think you're correct 100%. I wish a probability and statistics expert would call in, but here's the reason you're correct. Because when it gets down to the
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt. This is my favorite call of the night.
You're welcome.
This is the call I've been waiting for.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay, so they eliminate, they show you one door and say, okay, no, door number one, it's not a winner. You pick door number two. Do you want to stick with that or re-choose door number three? My thing is you should not be compelled to change your door because door number two has a 1 in 2 chance of being correct, as does door number three. And so I say that you should stick with what you originally chose. Because the odds aren't any better now that you've eliminated to two doors, your chances are 50-50 for either one being
correct.
Well,
I mean, that's what intuitively, that's what everyone feels. But I'm being told by grown-ups and math teachers that we're wrong.
I disagree with who's telling this. I haven't Googled.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not just people calling. And correct me if I'm wrong, Matt. This is also can be found on the Internet.
Yes.
Well, the internet, sir.
I didn't want to cheat and Google it, but I still say the odds are 50-50, and changing your answer then doesn't put you any closer.
That's what I feel.
That's how I feel.
But it's you and me and Matt against the internet.
No. It's the internet.
Well, you can't say that. I mean, these people got past the internet audition. Not everyone can just upload things on the internet.
Let's look at the lottery example. It's all randomly chosen. And let's say it's a 1 in 50 million chance of winning.
You could be right. Listen, I'm gonna have to say goodbye, but thanks for calling.
Please continue this next week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're going to do this for months and months.
Thank you.
This is far from over. Hey, we have Kim and Emily here. And Kim and Emily, I think I better apologize to you and your whole gender apparently I made some misogynistic sort of remark. I was trying to impress Matt and trying to just shock Matt and shock some listeners and put them off balance. And I made some terrible remark. And thankfully, my wife called and called me on it. And I want to apologize. I promised myself I would apologize to the first two foxy chicks
that I see.
Yeah. Hey. Oh, not foxy chicks. Women. Women that I see.
All right, we got to get out of here.
We got to get out of here. Matt, you were great. I hope you enjoyed your show. It's probably intermission now. We should have called them at intermission. Oh, no, I guess it's not. Just getting started. Hey, did you hear Ken's at Broadway? $600 for the tickets.
He's kind of.
Why don't we make a list
of
things
head.
He should have bought with that $600? Yeah, around here, unbelievable, unbelievable.
We gotta go. They gotta do their show.
They can. And Matt, thanks. And Veronica, thank you.
Yes.
And Nick the Bard, of course. Thank you.
Thanks.
And and to women, I'm so glad that this. You know, this is the year of the woman. At least I dubbed it so, and I'm glad that caught on. And go Hillary. I'm with her. All the way.
Oh.
Okay.
Bit of a problem. What would that we kind of need to build?
Everything okay?
I don't know. Is it?
Oh, sorry. Guys. Bryce. Guys.
So, Gavin. Bryce is...
Very discreet. Keep going. This is great.
Is Bryce your assistant?
No, of course not. He's my transfusion associate.
Which is?
Are you really not familiar with parabiosis?
Can't say that I am.
Well, the science is actually pretty fascinating. Regular transfusions of the blood of a younger, physically fit donor can significantly retard the aging process. And Bryce is a picture of health. Just look at him. He looks like a Nazi propaganda poster.
Oh.
Good evening, lifers. You're listening to In Real Life. I'm Emily.
I'm Kim Zilla.
What's wrong, Kim?
I'm just feeling a little beat.
You're looking a little tired. You've got some kind of, I mean, I don't want to be, I don't want to be a jerk, but you've got some little like bags under your eyes. You're looking kind of gaunt, wan, as they would say.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
I don't know what to do. I feel like I need a pick-me-up, something that'll like bring vitality back into my
Right. You want to be like full of energy and life and youth. Yeah, yeah, that's why we're doing this.
Doing what?
This,
I don't even remember what we're doing.
Well, you guys can't see from here, but Kim and I are trying this experimental treatment where we're sort of hooked together.
Yes,
we've inserted a tube into my arm, and it goes into Kim's arm, and it kind of cycles. It cycles my blood into Kim.
It's plasma.
It's plasma, but it's
your healthy, young, exciting plasma with your knowledge of books. I'm hoping to download. This is like a download, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm hoping to like get circus skills.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah, extreme flexibility. You should be able to like touch your toes to your nose.
Can you drink more than 2 glasses of wine without getting a headache in the morning?
Sure can.
That's what I want. That's really what I want. So,
well, I'll be interested to see the effects of this at the end. I mean, this IV kind of itches, to be perfectly honest. Like, I'm feeling kind of... I don't know. And I'm worried. I mean, am I going to get all, like, tired?
No. This isn't... Parabiosis. Parabiosis is a whole different thing. We'll talk about that in a minute. But hey, lifers, how are you? How you doing out there? Did you guys see the storm that lasted 10 minutes? If you're on the East Coast, you missed it.
I missed it.
Because you sleep, because you're young. Or something like that. Join us on the message board, won't you?
Would you?
Please. WFMU.org/playlists and comments.
Mm-hmm. You can talk to us. We really want to hear your thoughts on this one. This is a controversial topic.
This is a very controversial
topic. Believe it or not.
This started out at the lunch table at WFMU where we were talking about that Silicon Valley episode with the Blood Boy, which was the beginning spot from our show.
Mm-hmm. Does that make me your Blood Girl?
You're my Blood Girl.
I kind of like that title.
They're also called in more professional circles a blood associate. So you're my blood miss-sociate.
Blood miss-sociate?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I'm feeling a little more energetic already. Yeah. This stuff might be real.
Yeah. Well, I'll try to like, maybe if I like pump my arm really fast, faster.
Yeah. Is it working?
Is it working?
Yeah.
Do you feel the bubbles?
Yeah.
Oh no, wait, there's not supposed to be bubbles. That is what kills you. All right, guys, we gotta workshop this.
So we are going to talk about some craziness tonight. So parabiosis is where the conversation starts. So the idea of parabiosis, it starts out a long, long time ago, where you end up sewing, literally sewing two mice together, one young mouse to one old mouse, and their circulatory system is connected.
Yeah, their blood vessels are combined.
Yep.
And they're essentially sharing a circulatory system.
Yes.
And this
yes.
experiment was first conducted in 1864?
1864.
Man.
So when they healed together, their blood vessels combined, and they essentially shared their circulatory systems. In addition to most of the time eating their heads off of the other one, because who wants to be sewn together? Can you imagine?
I mean, if I was like a young,
I'm imagining
healthy,
this right now.
Vibrant mouse, and I was feeling great, and all of a sudden somebody stitched me to an old dying mouse who started stealing the vitality of my internal organs, I'd be kind of pissed, and I'd probably bite their head off too.
One of the side effects of this, in addition to their heads getting bit off, was that the young mouse did feel a little bit weaker, sadder. A little bit more unhealthy. And then
They had shorter lifespans.
Mm-hmm. And the older mouse did feel a little bit better. So there have been some results in mouse studies.
But
yeah,
we aren't talking about stitching humans together.
No.
Are we?
No, we're talking about what is also called young blood transfusions, which this refers to transfusing I'm feeling a little woozy. Blood specifically from a young person into an older one with the intention of creating some sort of medicinal benefit from the young plasma being introduced.